Happy New Year. Did you celebrate bigly or big league? Bigly is one of 19 words and phrases that made it onto this year's banished words list from Lake Superior University. We will talk with one of the list compilers and welcome your nominations for words and phrases that are overused or misused or just annoying in your view. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, January 2nd. Our guest this hour is John Shibley. He's a photographer, staff writer, and co-compiler of Lake Superior State University's Banished Words List. Good morning.
Good morning and happy Bigly New Year.
Happy Bigly New Year to you. Yeah, as mentioned, that was one of 19 words that made this year's list. And in fact, let me play a little montage that producer Brianne Chasso put together so we can hear some of the offending words, and then we'll talk a little bit more about them.
Candidate Hillary Clinton held a town hall meeting in Concord, while Republican contender Donald Trump held a town hall out in Rochester.
Presidential nominees are taking different approaches this morning in preparing for Sunday's town hall.
Estimates, and they are only very much guesstimates, I think.
Party became an echo chamber of itself.
And just go talk to folks out there instead of being in this echo chamber.
Larry Wilmore says that I should tell you that my plans for criminal justice reform are unbelievable.
Post-truth was named the 2016 Word of the Year.
Post-truth, huh?
Yeah. Really?
And we'll have at the end of this day, one way or another, a historic candidate.
An issue that is dividing America in a bigly way, or is it a big league way?
We are going to start winning big league.
But I'm going to cut taxes big league.
Someday, I believe that will be proven out big league.
There we go. Boy, a lot of good ones there. And when you heard Donald Trump there say bigly, you heard him say bigly, and on some occasions it sounded like he sort of said big league. So what's the story there?
Well, I think he said big league because bigly is a legitimate word, and it's not eighth grade grammar. It has its genesis in the 1400s. It was actually widely used in the 19th century, so when it showed up because everybody thought he said bigly, we're actually reintroducing a word into our common lexicon. So there's a nice symmetry to this. That's what we always look for, too, when we put these lists together, our double meanings.
Yeah. So we'll get into more of them, but what qualifies a word or a phrase to get put on the banished words list?
Well, people vote early and they vote often from all over the world, mostly North America, mostly the United States. But whatever word garners the most raw count floats into the final cut, which is usually around 70 to 100 words. And then we look for clever reasons to banish a word or phrase. So, number one, it's an unpopularity contest. And number two, it's tongue-in-cheek, so we encourage people to have fun. So those are the two main criteria.
Right. And we already, as we do every year, have people posting on our Facebook page, what do you mean? No, we shouldn't ban any words. You're not really saying ban these words, right?
No, we're saying if there's a serious side to this tongue-in-cheek list that's been 42, this is our 42nd year doing
wow.
this. It's to get you to slow down and think about how you express yourself. The English language is so rich. You should be able to select exactly what you want to say in order to convey the idea that you want to make to somebody else.
All right. So you get nominations from all over the place and people vote on these words and phrases. Then what, do you make the final cut as to which words actually make it on the list?
Well, they just nominate words and phrases. We do counts of how many times that word or phrase has come up. And then we make the final cut depending upon the context of why the word should be included on our list. And that's where the editorial and roles as compilers come into play. But this is all put together largely like stone soup. Everybody contributes everything from all over the world.
So you've been doing this for 42 years. Any guesstimate as to how many words you've banished?
Well, if you look on our all-time banished words list, we're pushing 900. So a lot of work to be done because everything keeps changing every year. This was a very contentious election year, so we had a lot of politics that showed up. People are very strong about how they speak and how they hear the information that's conveyed to them. So, language is rich. It's always growing. There are always things that will always get on our wrong side, and our list is a little therapeutic, so we'll be here for another 42 years to keep things happy.
What do you mean by therapeutic?
People get something off their chest. Bigley is a nice example of it. There are lots of reasons, lots of emotional reasons why people want to put a word or phrase that they've heard during a campaign that sort of rubs them wrong. So after they've voted for our list, we want to think that we've done our part to calm the populace down, to calm down the voters and get them thinking about more relaxed things like on fleek and get your dandruff up and selfie drones and things like that. It's not all politics.
No, it's not. And, you know, I'm thinking of the word I just used when I said guesstimate. That's on the list. But that one's been around for a while. Was it just... it was just used a lot during the election year and I don't know, guessing poll numbers or something?
Well, that's just this list has its quirky side. Get your dandruff up, which is what my dad used to say as a malapropism all the time. That's been around for as long as I can remember, but for some reason that received several hundred votes. And that's what I like about this. We have the very serious side where people get their just sort of relax and submit stuff that have been overused. And then there's little quirky things like listicle and contractions like 831, which I'll sort of try to explain to you what it means maybe later in the program.
That was actually the first I heard of that. But it's interesting. We will talk about that later. That'll be a tease. Let's talk about first Post-Truth, which was actually named the 2016 Word of the Year by the Oxford Dictionaries. Yet Post-Truth ought to be banned, according to the Lake Superior list. How come?
That came up this year, as you can well imagine. It's a very profound thing to consider that we're entering a post-truth era of our political discourse. By the same token, that bothers a lot of people. They don't want to be led in that direction. They don't even want to acknowledge it, and I can see why they don't. We got a lot of serious reasons for putting that on the list. But it's a sad commentary, and when people look back on the 2016 political climate, say 20 years from now, they'll see post-truth and they'll say, yeah, that was something that was very popular that year. That's something that was the word of the year. So sort of a historic, which is another modifier we have on our list, is sort of a historic appraisal of the times we live in.
Yeah, that historic is on the list, and because we heard every political or television commentator talking about what a historic election we were facing, is that why?
Yeah, and history is usually anything that's historic is usually best left to an historian who will make the determination several decades from now. You sort of need to pause and let history be examined rationally away from the passion of the moment. So everything's become historic, and it's usually a spur-of-the-moment kind of designation that's been thrown around too much.
Yeah, now, this is something that I have to admit, again, I'm out of it. On fleek, which is apparently, you know, some hip phrase. Why did that make the list?
That's something that appears, comes on the scene maybe in 6 months, a year. It comes from the fashion world. You're well manicured, you're hot, you're ready to go.
Oh, that's why I haven't heard of it.
Yes. And if you're anything is on fleek, it's on point, perfectly executed or looking good. needs to return to its genesis perfectly groomed eyebrows. So,
and you heard Bernie Sanders used it in that clip. That's hilarious.
I didn't realize he had used it in one of his speeches, but I think that's wonderful. And again, that gets back to why we do this list. It's sort of a spirit of the moment, and that's what language is. It says things and then moves on, and then if it's something sticks around too long, then people want to add it to our list, and we're more than willing to help them do that.
We are going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we must focus our attention on some other words and phrases that are on the banished words list. By the way, we must focus our attention is one of the phrases that made it. So what nominations of words or phrases would you like to suggest? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are talking with a co-compiler of the Lake Superior State University's annual Banished Words List. Lake Superior State University has been putting together this annual list for many years, 42 years, and the words are really not banned. They are just words and phrases that are getting overused or misused or abused. And in some cases, they're just tiresome and maybe a little bit annoying. And we're wondering if you have any words that you would put on this list. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So we've already mentioned a number of the 19 words that made this year's list, including bigly and post-truth, talked a little bit about historic being on there, guesstimate being on there, on fleek, and boy, I said that I was going to say, I was going to bring up the we must focus on, because, and I have to admit, I do say that, I'll say that we're going to focus on this now. Why is that a bad thing?
Well, there are more succinct words that you could use. Sometimes
that's true.
Focus is the easiest way to get through a conversation. Concentrate or to look at maybe alternatives. And focus is a pretty good word. I use it all the time. And I was surprised that showed up because its utility has not run the final measure by any stretch. So it's on there. Sort of as a hedge because it got over 400 votes.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, it seems to me talking to you in past years that focus in like a laser beam ended up as a phrase on one of these lists, and I remember that year when that was used a lot. And so sometimes that happens too. That people get tired of hearing it because it just shows up and keeps on showing up.
Well, I think what happens is with the social media and the 24/7, which is 24/7 is on the list. These phrases and words have a lot more opportunity to ricochet around the media and how we talk with each other. So, I think there's a multiplier effect as we go into this kind of communication we use to watch the world around us, listen to the world around us, and share it with others.
We have Carl in Madison with us now. Hi, Carl.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to nominate the word alt-right. I think that it's so alt-right has been used to mean white nationalism or white supremacism, and it really obfuscates what the phenomenon it refers to. Kind of belies the implications of those positions, those political tendencies, in a way that's really, I don't like, and I think a lot of people don't like. So and it's been way overused. It shouldn't exist to begin with, and it's just been being used all the time now to kind of, you know, tamp down the extremism of those political tendencies.
What about that phrase, alt-right, John?
Well, that that about encapsulates the minefield we've walked through this, at least as list compilers, this year. The election year was very contentious. Two of the top two vote getters were, quote, President Trump and Crooked Hillary.
Oh, no.
They were way up there. And so we decided we didn't want to really wade into the swamp, as that saying goes, and keep those two off of there, because and yet we still had to include some aspects of the political season. But yeah, people are very passionate about what they hear. Alt-right is just another alternative right. It's a contraction, and people are very, very concerned about how certain words or phrases may be used to sugarcoat ideas and make them more palatable. Like post-truth is a gentle way of saying something very profound. So, 2016, we're glad to see it go, because there's a lot of third rails that need to simmer down a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of polarization, in part because we are listening to voices in our own echo chambers.
Yep, that's a very profound thing as well, and it's been building for years. For the past almost 20 years, we've seen social media and discussion groups, and we have our own little news sources now, and we have our own close group of clutch of friends, and everything's just magnified. And on the one hand, you can really embrace how you want to express yourself, but you really owe it to yourself and your neighbors to get all other sources of information as well. We need to get back to a balance.
Yeah, and a town hall meeting is on the banished words list, and that's because they're not really town hall meetings, or what?
Well, town hall meetings used to be civic affairs. It's something in a town, in a hall. Nice patina of democracy going on there. In this day and age, they're multimedia organized events with cameras, and rather staged, with the two candidates standing with everybody seated rigidly around them. So that's about as far from the original meeting as you can get. So a lot of our nominators felt that town hall meetings should be returned to its roots.
Yeah, sounds good. Mary on Facebook says she would ban mindset, saying it drives her bonkers. Has mindset ever made it?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So we're getting started on 2018's list.
Yes. So that's true. If people officially want to nominate a word that has, or phrase that has not been banished yet, you have a spot for them to do that on your website?
Yes. Just do a web search, LSSU word banish, and it'll take you right to a page where you can read about how we've been doing it for almost five decades. But more importantly, you have a form there. You can just take a minute and plunk in a word or phrase and a clever reason, a fun reason, and submit. And you can vote early and you can vote often as you want until now, between now and December, say mid-December.
Yep, and we do have that page on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and there is also the full list is there, too, if you want to read all about it. Brian emails, I would like to see the following added to the banned words and phrases list. Coming up next, which is something I will say, and other people in the media will say, it's called forward promotion, and it's something that is hopefully going to keep listeners staying tuned, but he's tired of hearing coming up next. And he adds mid-century modern and vintage, which, yeah, you do hear that quite a bit. I just started hearing that because I apparently live in a mid-century modern house, which was a 1959 home.
Well, when words and phrases get piled up in one another, it's usually considered a little extra ruffle that really needs to be edited. You need a red pen sometimes. Just an older home, a vintage home, that's fine. But when you have
mid-century modern.
Which means it was probably built in the 50s.
Right.
So that makes me feel old. But mid-century modern, yeah. You never send a $20 bill on what a buck could buy. So
yeah. And coming up next, I'm not sure if you have any thoughts on that. Maybe if we just said coming up or stay with us, or we're going to be talking about this in a little while.
Don't go away.
Yeah, don't go away. Don't touch that dial.
That's right.
He also doesn't like the word sconny, which you may not have ever heard of, John Shibley. That's some people will you, there's, it's someone who's from Wisconsin, Ascani.
Ascani.
Yeah. And, like a Uper for the UP?
Uper is sort of like a Uper. I was down in Wisconsin for 5 years, and I got to admit, I'd never heard of that.
Right, right. It's actually a couple of guys got together and started putting Scani wear together. So, you know, like UW Badger stuff, that kind of gear wear now says Scani on it. So,
okay, so this is a relatively recent
somewhat,
development.
Somewhat.
Okay.
Let's go to Joe in Laval next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ms. Cardine. Hello, Mr. Shively. How are you this morning?
Very well, Joe.
Very well, thank you.
I will attempt to propose my phrase as politely as possible, because I understand, Wisconsin Board of Regents owns Wisconsin Public Radio, but my phrase that I wish would be banned, because I believe it is misused and somewhat so vague as to be dishonest, and that is the college wage premium.
And define that for us, Joe, and how where you see this used.
Well, college wage premium is the difference between a college graduate's earnings and a non-graduate's earnings. And usually that difference is between, like, some credential holder and someone who just has a high school diploma. And the reason why I have an issue with the college wage premium term is because it does not differentiate amongst the different levels of education. So instead, we should be saying associate's degree premium or bachelor's degree premium or advanced degree premium. But to lump it all together just makes it more confusing for people who are considering what type and what level, what extent of college education they should pursue, or maybe some if they have particular interpersonal deficits that make it difficult to cooperate with others or pass job interviews, you know, maybe for them there wouldn't be a premium based on whatever program they pursue.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I get what you're meaning. I'm not sure where, if you see this in job descriptions or something. I think Joe doesn't like it because it's not very clear. How about that, John Shibley?
Well, I'd love to see it overused and abused, so maybe he can start a movement where it sticks in people's craw like it does for him, and people eventually see with him, and it should be banned from the English language.
Yeah, and we go. Thank you very much, Joe, for calling. Jeff in Whitefish.
Hey.
Hi, Whitefish Bay. That's what I thought. Okay, go ahead.
I actually have two. One is a free gift, which is an oxymoron, and the other is it's going to happen in the future. Unless you're bending the space-time continuum, it's always going to happen in the future.
All right, so free gift, because it's an oxymoron. It seems to me that might have made the list in the past, or do you remember, John?
1981.
Yeah. There we go, free gift. And
no such thing as a free lunch or a free gift.
And maybe it'll show up in the, it'll happen in the future again.
Boy, that's a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
For that's where we have to spend the rest of our lives, is what the great Criswold used to say.
Yeah. Let's see, we have Ellen on Facebook suggesting banning cohort and blessed.
Blessed, I've heard a lot of. I haven't seen a lot of votes for that one. Cohort, maybe something that's special to education. But again, I encourage people to work on it, talk to their friends, post a lot, irritate people with a word or phrase, and maybe it'll show up on our radar screens up here.
We are talking with John Shibley. He is a photographer, staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University's Banished Words List. This list comes out every year at this time or about this time, and we welcome your thoughts, your questions, your nominations, words that are misused or overused, words that you're just words and phrases that you're just tired of hearing, maybe in the media or in your circle of friends. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next caller is Dan in Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
I still believe that the word normal should not be, that it's so overused, especially in the wintertime. It's just irritates the heck out of me.
Well, how do you hear it used so often? In what kind of context, Dan?
Well, when they talk about temperatures now like this, coming week we got temperatures a high of about zero coming up. And they say, well, that's below normal. And it's not for northern Wisconsin or Michigan or any of the northern states.
Yeah. And for that, we are sorry, Dan. What? Any thoughts on that, John?
Well, my favorite is seasonable. Because anything that happens where it's cold or raining at the moment can be considered seasonable because it's happened before during that season. And locally, more precipitation, locally, heavier amounts. Locally can be wherever you are, and if you're not seeing anything, it certainly isn't coming down heavier at the moment. So those are pretty sloppy designators. I agree with you on that. And normal. Datum, I guess, if you're in the Great Lakes, if anything's above datum, that means the water level's higher than traditionally measured in 1890 or something like that. So I feel your pain, sir.
Well, speaking of weather or climate, Guy on Facebook suggests consensus. And the reason I say that is we were using that word a lot last week when we were talking about it's a consensus of scientists that climate change is happening. Consensus, is that a word that's ever been put on the banished words list?
I think that showed up in the late 90s. I think what a lot of people object to when they say there's a consensus of climate scientists is that science isn't necessarily democratic either.
Yeah.
I mean, either it's determined to be a scientific valid point of view or it's not. I said point of view, but a finding. A consensus is irrelevant, really, when you have a scientific finding.
All right. Getting into a little bit more serious a tone here, Paul from Eau Claire emails that he would ban the word racist, misogynist, and xenophobe. He says they were so overused over the last year that my eyes would glaze over and I would stop taking the speaker seriously. Whoa, what about that?
Well, we need to keep them in circulation because, unfortunately, those words describe points of view or attitudes that still exist in society. But I agree when the media talks too much about something, it sort of rubs us the wrong way and we can't seem to rinse it out of our ears. So,
yeah.
Vote.
All right, now here's one on the list that I'm not quite sure about. It's Bête Noire. What is that?
Oh, let's see. We gathered, and then this week, it's a bugbear, pet peeve, bugboo, pain, pest to our nominators. And I'm finding out that that was used during a political campaign north of the border, specifically out in western Canada.
Oh.
So that's a little of the Canadian dog, a Canadian tail wagging the North American dog with the votes that came in. And when I ascertained that they came from Canada, I figured, oh, well, we'll have a tip of the hat to our Canadian cousins because then Bête Noire will be probably used more often down here and probably too much. So here's hoping.
So if I'm understanding, Bête Noire means pet peeve.
Yes. Or it's sort of a dark thing that hovers in your back of your mind and you can't seem to get rid of it. It's like a scratch you can't, it's like an itch you can't scratch.
So they might be words that we think ought to be on the banished.
Yes, yes.
We are talking about the Lake Superior State University's banished words list. This is the 42nd annual banished words list, and we welcome your nominations. Maybe for the next list, we're telling you what made it on the 2017 list. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So Bête Noire is one word on the list. Focus is another. Town hall meeting is another. Post-truth. Guesstimate. Historic. Echo chamber. On fleek. Bigly. Get your dandruff up. What else? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the words and phrases that made it to Lake Superior State University's annual Banished Words List. And we're welcoming your questions and your nominations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest helps compile the list. He is John Shibley, a photographer, staff writer, and editor for the Banished Words List. A lot of these words come from the media and from politics and from, for that matter, technology. And one of those, I think, is where it's coming from, is this 831. It's something the young folks text to each other, 831, John Shibley?
It's my favorite one that showed up on this year's list.
Yeah.
I always look for little ones that float up from the bottom, and I can't immediately discern for myself because it sort of addresses a strong force in what shapes the way we communicate with each other, and that's social media. I'm assuming a lot of jilted lovers, unrequited love, 831, eight letters, three words, one meaning, 831, I love you. And a number of nominators contend that you should never encrypt or abbreviate one's love. And I have to agree with them on that. I had to run and text a student when I was compiling the list and ask her, what does this 831, how long has this been around? I went to a website that tracks memes, and it's been around for about a year, but some people argue that it's kind of neat. It's a little code. It's a little numerology that's a sort of a secret way of saying I love you, but others want to have it expanded out into its original intent, which is three words stated clearly, I love you.
Oh, my goodness. This is a learning experience for me. That 831 is how one might tell their significant other in a text that they love them.
But you run the risk of contracting too far, which a lot of people find irritating.
Yeah. And the other one from technology was a selfie drone. So people do that?
Well, 10 years ago, we put selfie on the list. A lot of museums and other facilities are banning selfie sticks because I guess some pieces have been gouged over time or vases knocked off stands. And suddenly on the scene comes this little pocket device that has a camera you can throw into the air, and it'll orbit you and your tablet device while you're jumping from rock to rock or climbing down an ice cave. How can this end badly? So a lot of nominators, it's irritating enough to see people going around shooting pictures of themselves, but to have an aircraft flying around them that could hit you sort of ratchets up the risk a little too far for their comfort.
Another one, I've heard of unfriending people, but apparently you can ghost people?
Yeah, unfriending's not strong enough. Ghost is just to cleanse any evidence that you've ever had an online relationship with somebody. So that's a big step, and I think people who nominated that probably had happened to them, and so we feel their pain.
Yeah, to abruptly end communication, especially on social media, which happened a lot in the political year, too.
Yep, another good reason to wave 2016 off to the sunset. We can all become civil again. We don't say you, sir, anymore. That was one of our top vote getters, a little indignant. That usually preceded duels or something like that.
That's right. I was going to go to that one too. You, sir. That's pretty funny. And the funniest one is dad bod, though.
Yeah, that was another one of my favorites because I'm not a dad, but I certainly have a dad bod by definition. The flabby opposite of a chisel body male idea, and I suddenly, you know, when I saw that, I said, well, people are finally starting to accept how middle-aged looks. So I took comfort in that, but then I shouldn't use it as an excuse to vegetate on the couch like I tend to do at the end of the day.
And speaking of taking care of oneself, manicured, apparently we don't, is this just for the lawn or is this for our nails?
I think there are a lot of people who feel they're slaves to their lawn, and so manicured, it could be a manicured argument. I've heard it used in a lot of contexts when things are on fleek. So the closest anything gets to manicured are your nails, and if you're going to talk about lawns, a golf green.
We are talking about the many words and phrases that made it to this year's Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. These are words that are overused or misused or generally abused. Bill in Marshfield is with us. Hello, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. The word that I would like you to consider is existential, as frequently used in existential threat.
Yeah, and so why does that bug you so much, Bill?
Existence.
No, I think that one is very overused. You either have a threat or you don't.
Uh-huh.
For instance, if the dog down the street keeps nipping at my heels as I ride by on the bicycle, even though it's at a distance, it's not an existential threat. It's just a nasty dog.
Huh. I guess I haven't heard existential paired with threat so much, but I guess I don't get out much.
Well, it's usually used with regard to political violence. Terrorism is an existential threat.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
But existential, I think, belongs in philosophy.
Yeah, right.
It's a $20 word that's stuck on what is or isn't a threat, like your caller says.
Amy in Amory is with us. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
What would you ban?
Oh, two words, rhetoric and, I'll just start with rhetoric.
and resonate was your other one.
Yeah, resonate. So I hear it all the time on the radio. This thing didn't resonate well with me, or, you know, like when somebody's expressing their opinion or their life story, anything.
That's one of those fancy words where maybe we could just say, doesn't sit well with me, Jen?
Yeah, doesn't resonate with me. No, I don't even see it on our going back 42 years, so I think it's fair game.
Yeah.
But we sort of latch onto these things, and they sort of describe what we feel in the moment, and then since it's convenient, that's where the overuse risk comes.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I've used that from time to time. Does this resonate with you?
Fine.
Yeah. And what about rhetoric, John? Is that ever, because we have heard that a lot.
Nope, that isn't on there. I think it belongs on there because we've heard far too much rhetoric in 2016 during the
there
election.
We go. Let's look on Facebook here. Karen, this is funny. Karen on Facebook says she would ban kiddos. I've heard people say, the kiddos and I are going to go, shopping.
I sort of been hearing that more often too, and that, I heard that when I was a child. My parents would always say kiddo, and I think that's sort of a nice little gentle word. Even though that's starting to be overused, I think it's nostalgia. I think a lot of the baby boomers are starting. It's a cool sounding construct. That kiddo, I'm off. Take care, cats. You know.
That's right. Ryan on Facebook says he would ban ginormous, saying that's not even a word in the first place.
Ginormous is from the 1980s, so that showed up in 1986.
Yep.
So, but we've had the word basically banned on four occasions, starting in 1978, and the last time that showed up was 2003. So you can't keep a good word down.
Carolyn on Facebook would ban my bad, which I think has been banned, hasn't it?
1999, yep.
I remember that. And she goes political on us again, and let's make America great again.
Oh yes, those phrases. We've some years we've made a decision not to include any political campaign phrases because they become too dated, or at the time they arouse a lot of passion in one way or the other. But if there's a clever one down the road that's overused, I'd like to see it maybe in 2020.
We still didn't get to all of them on the list yet. Frankenfruit. I've heard of Frankenfood, but now people are specifically saying Frankenfruit.
Not to be confused with other forms of genetically modified language. Yeah, Frankenfood should be enough, but apparently we're getting down to fruits, vegetables, nuts, breads, and other items on the food pyramid.
Yeah, and disruption. So that's because we've had so much political disruption?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, 2016 was disruptive, and a lot of talking heads have said this has been the year of disruption, and I think we're welcoming 2017 as a tonic to calm our tummies down, linguistically at least.
Oh, hey, here's one that I think it came up, but we didn't talk in depth about it, because here we are talking about a banished words list, and listicle is one of the words.
Oh, listicle. Oh, yes, listicle is usually a bulleted sidebar for an article or something like that, but it can also include anything that's just a quick list. And when I saw that garner a lot of nominations, I said, well, that describes what we're doing, too. So it's earned its place on our list this year.
All right, I think I got them all. Were there any runners up that you're going to be watching, you know, as possible words to be on next year's list?
Well, the ones that your callers came in, you know, kiddo was something that got a lot of votes. Usually, I don't know what to expect. We have a student staff that helps, and it's not just English majors. We have engineering kids that have helped in the past, and since we're a small school, anybody can get involved, and that's the other side of the equation when it comes to putting together this list, is having the current generation that sort of steer the older generation through the numbers, and that's always reinvigorating every year.
Yeah. Here's one that actually more than a few people brought up on our Facebook page, and that is fake news.
Yeah. That was... In fact, post-truth, it was a toss-up between post-truth and fake news, and I think post-truth speaks to a broader philosophical sense as to what we're going through. So
yeah.
That one, because I think it covers more territory.
Yeah. So in our final minute, John, maybe just a final word on what we should think about when we're looking at this list of banished words.
Well, I just construct a list. And if anything strikes you as kind of weird, quirky, overused, write it down. Just jot it down. Start your list now. Kick it in. Vote early. Vote often. Have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. And by all means, come up and join us in our corner of Lake Superior. And you can have a hand in constructing next year's list. If you're a student, non-traditional, or anybody, just join in.
We'll do.
Virtually
Thank you.
Or in real life.
Thank you so much for being with us, John Shibley, photographer, staff writer, editor of the Lake Superior State University's Banished Words List, which we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Brianne Shasso for producing this hour. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.